Bitcoin is bringing back an old idea of money and savings, and the shift that will be most subtle, but will have the most revolutionary impact on the world, will be its effect on how tall we walk. This is Walking Tall, a Guys Take episode. What's up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. And we are getting into a Guy's Take episode today. Technically, there is actually a read in this episode, just because I can't help myself. But I can't even remember who shared this. I want to say it was Marty Bent, but I am unable to find it. Again, where I actually got this from, and I did not keep a very good record of it, apparently. But there's an old idea of money and savings. We talked about in yesterday's episode on when Bitcoin melts the system, prosperity sets in, all about savings and how our entire culture and consumerist nature has been basically magnified in a massive way because of how the money has been manipulated, and it's also bloated the financial system. It's bloated the advertising and, you know, surveillance capitalism. Just so many of our major problems in society stem from a systemic imbalance in how we view money and how we secure our future. And as I talk about in the episode, or in the Guy's Take after the episode, the whole culture, the incentive, the market, everything around savings is completely dead. I mean, as dead as it gets. Like, the idea of a bank trying to advertise that you should save and spend a large marketing campaign or pushing people to do so is almost comical. In fact, they're more likely to be pushing a credit card on you. Yet this was actually the case at one time. And we're actually going to start this off with an ad that is a bank's ad for people to save more, to come into their bank and start savings accounts. Which, of course, there was a real interest rate, so they actually incentivized people to do this. You got paid for your savings. Real quick, though, before I start reading it, I just want to shout out to Hexa Wallet for supporting the podcast. They have got a great mobile wallet, and there is a feature that is, like, right around the corner that I cannot wait to announce, but I'm going to keep it in the bag until it actually drops. If you have not gotten your own keys and, you know, you haven't taking the leap to a hardware wallet, the best thing you can do is get a solid mobile wallet that's non-custodial, just like Hexa Wallet, and send your coins there. If they're still on Cash App, if they're still on Swan Bitcoin, if they're still on River Financial, if they're still on Coinbase, wherever they are, get them off, withdraw them to your Hexa Wallet. That is the first and most important step to holding your own keys. And again, if anybody has any questions or, wants some advice or anything like that, I'm always open to answer some questions. And also, if you're not stacking sats, I get this every week or every Tuesday, I think. It's like Monday night, I think it comes in. But I am stacking with Swan Bitcoin. And you can actually get $10 free at swanbitcoin.com/guy. And you're actually supporting the podcast at the exact same time. But seriously, guys, like, we are moving hard into a bull market. You have got to be dollar cost averaging. You've got to be buying every single week anything that you can put away. I always say pay yourself first. Pay into your savings before you figure out how to meet your bills, literally. It will make all the difference in the world come into the future. And this is something I've done for a very, very long time, and it has paid off for a very, very long time. So make sure you are auto-buying your Bitcoin, and literally Swan Bitcoin, there's no cheaper or better place to do that. So if you haven't done that, and, you know, it's about time you did, you get $10 free. if you use my reference link, which is swanbitcoin.com/guy. Okay, so that's all my announcements and PSAs to get out of the way. Now, this short read here, again, this is an advertisement. And I just want you to frame and think about how polar opposite this mindset is to the financial mindset you have today. And just try to extend out and think of the second, third, and fourth order effects of this mindset, of if people thought this way, and what that versus what we have now does to a culture, does to a population, can do to an entire society when you poison the money. So this ad is called The Pleasure of Walking Tall. Your savings, believe it or not, affect the way you stand, the way you walk, the tone of your voice. In short, your physical well-being and self-confidence. A man without savings is always running. He must. He must take the first job offered, or nearly so. He sits nervously on life's chairs because any small emergency throws him into the hands of others. Without savings, a man must be too grateful. Gratitude is a fine thing in its place, but a constant state of gratitude is a horrible place in which to live. A man with savings can walk tall. He may appraise opportunities in a relaxed way, have time for judicious estimates, and not be rushed by economic necessity. A man with savings can afford to resign from his job if his principles so dictate, and for this reason he'll never need to do so. A man who can afford to quit is much more useful to his company, and therefore more promotable. He can afford to give his company the benefits of his most candid judgments. A man always concerned about necessities, such as food and rent, can't afford to think in long-range career terms. He must dart to the most immediate opportunity for ready cash. Without savings, he will spend a lifetime of darting and dodging. A man with savings can afford the wonderful privilege of being generous in family or neighborhood emergencies. He can take a level stare into the eyes of any man, friend, stranger, or enemy. It shapes his personality and character. The ability to save has nothing to do with the size of income. Many high-income people who spend it all are on a treadmill, darting through life like minnows. The dean of American bankers, J.P. Morgan, once advised a young broker, quote, "Take waste out of your spending, you'll drive the haste out of your life." Will Rogers put it this way, "I'd rather have a company of a janitor living on what he earned last year than an actor spending what he'll earn next year." If you don't need money for college, a home, or retirement, then save for self-confidence. The state of your savings does have a lot to do with how tall you walk. First Federal Savings and Loan Association of St. Petersburg. But think about how much was said in this, how much fundamental understanding of money and human nature. I mean, every single time they switched to a paragraph about not having any savings, could it not be a more perfect explanation of what's going on right now, of what everybody feels like they are stuck in? I mean, why do we call it a hamster wheel? Why do we say it feels like everyone's always running? Everyone's always on a treadmill, not going anywhere. And it feels like all we do is try to catch up with where we were. And this is something that I think it was Hayek talked about, was that the amount of savings that someone has is their explicit, is basically a barometer for how good of a job they can get. Like, if they can't wait for a better job, and the entire market is stuck in a situation where nobody has any savings, what reason does a job have to offer better conditions? Who are they competing for? If everybody is just taking the next job that they can get because they have absolutely no availability or no buffer to make it across a month of being unemployed or 6 months or whatever it is to get a good job that has good benefits and pays them a fair amount, then the market pressure to do so is gone. And what happens? People get stuck in jobs they hate, in jobs that violate their principles, that get them to do terrible things or really questionable or sleazy things that they would normally stand up to. That if they actually had a foundation to work off of, if they were working off money that did not bleed in value, and they could actually pull in a little bit extra, that prices would actually fall over time, that they would get wealthier as the economy produced more, which is the natural state of a sound money system. If that were the case, people could actually stand up for their principles. That's why it's called FU money. It's not about having so much money that you could just buy every building that you could walk into or something. It's about having enough money that you don't have to take shit from somebody. That if somebody says, oh, I need you to sell this shitcoin token that is against your principles, and I want you to run this ad on your show or pump for this exchange that's super freaking shady, but I'm going to pay you $10,000, that I can just be like, no, I'm not going to do that. I would feel gross as shit at the end of the day if that's what I was doing on this podcast. And I've gotten offers. And you know, if I didn't have savings, if I didn't have Bitcoin, I might take them. I might be in a really bad spot. Like, what else would I might be a shitcoiner. Who knows? But what's interesting, there's another little paragraph in this talking about how, like, somebody who knows, who would stay in a job because they enjoy the job, or that it just pays them a sufficient amount and, you know, doesn't go against their principles, that they're also more promotable. They're more valuable to the company because they know that they can be honest, that they're just not going to appease whoever the hell is above them. I mean, think about how many situations happen, like how much corruption or just nastiness survives because of a complete dependence on the person above you in a job. Being totally dependent on an authority, on someone who supposedly holds sway over you, is an awful place to be. It makes people work against their principles. It makes people lie just to appease somebody else, or just hope that they're saying something that other person, that the person above them would actually like. It leads to sexual harassment. I mean, all the situations and asymmetries of complete dependence on another person and how that can go wrong are made more prevalent. And even says in this that you can't think in a long-range career terms. You can't think about your long-term future because you're fighting for your rent. You're fighting for your food. And you can never make any headway. So much of this is based on how our money works. Or more importantly, how it doesn't work. You don't see ads like this anymore. This fundamental understanding is gone from society. Our generations nobody would explain it like this. Nobody would be able to say these things and be like, yes, you get these out of savings. People don't think about savings. Again, the first thing that I am pushed, I had to set up a new bank account very recently, both for this business, for the production company, 111 Productions, and also for... because PNC sucks, and I had to open up an entirely new bank account at an entirely different bank just to get Strike to integrate the number of accounts and services and wallets and crap that I have used in order to make all of the Lightning and everything work is amazing. But so, yeah, I had to set up a whole new bank account, which I actually had to put some more money in today because, God forbid, I run out of money in that account and I can't use Strike. It's like the worst thing that ever happens. But you know what both of those banks did, what they tried to push on me immediately while I was setting it up? A credit card. Both of them. Now, admittedly, my most recent bank did also get me to open up a savings account at the exact same time. It's like their account thing is built with both of those at the exact same time. And my basis points were a whopping 17.17%, which was actually a whole lot higher than it was at the previous bank. But it's totally an afterthought. And like I said yesterday, if you're saving in fiat money in a bank to try to get that interest rate, it's a terrible investment. It's an absolutely terrible investment. To hold that for years is awful. It just means you don't know how money works. And unfortunately, you know, everyday, honest, ignorant people are just wiped out by stuff like that. And the CPI is not that measure. We've talked about this multiple times on the show and, you know, bring it up on a lot of other shows that when I guest appear on or whatever, I always try to mention Chapwood Index, Chapwood Index.com. That is a flat, no complicated, weird justifications or, you know, models or anything. It's as simple a price inflation index as you can get. Top 500 things purchased in the top like 50 or 100 cities or something in the country every year. What are the top 500 things? What are the prices of those things? How do they change over time? A couple of sentences worth of quote-unquote math. Whereas the paper that tells you how the CPI is calculated is 107 pages. Do you know what 106.5 of those pages do? They come up with a whole bunch of nonsense to hide inflation. That's what it does. But if you take the Chapwood Index and just look in the major cities in the country, real inflation can be as high as 20%, but just a conservative average for the last 10 years, it's 10%. And if you look at the numbers that came in the first half of 2020, it's crazy scary. You're already at 10, 12, 13% at a lot of these places just for the first 6 months. But since 2020 is an outlier, let's just go ahead and toss that one out and just say, take the 10% average because it's simple. What does it mean? What does it do to $10,000 to have 10% inflation for 10 years? The purchasing power of $10,000 that you're trying to save for a rainy day, that you're trying to save for a house, that you're trying to save for retirement, that you're trying to make sure that you have a safe, reliable future so that you don't have to depend on somebody else. After 10 years of that inflation, it's worth $3,800. And what does that make you? What does that make anybody? Dependent. It means they need Social Security. It means they need unemployment. They need a politician to come in and save them by the very mechanism which is destroying them. The inflation that destroys their savings, the inflation that destroys their ability to have job security, the inflation that destroys their ability to be honest and stand up for their principles in the job market, the inflation that disallows them to get paid on their savings, a market rate that would actually incentivize them to be frugal, the inflation that pushes credit cards onto them, that makes a market of flashy 0% interest, go into debt, spend your next year's and the year after that and the year after that, right this instant gratification consumerist culture, all of that poisons their life and then turns around and makes them beg for the government to put all of these solutions in. Makes you need safety net on top of safety net. You need government retirement. You need government loans. You need government minimum wage. You need government health care. You have to tax the evil rich who did this to you. You need them to come in and put your boss in their place for you because you can't stand up to anybody and you hate them for it. You need them to come in and save you from the very hamster wheel that they built, chained you to, and stuck you in to run for them for your entire life. They poisoned everything we do, and then they come in as saviors to fix all of our problems. But a feeling of independence, to be able to step away from that, to have savings, to have sound money that you know they can't fuck with. That is power. That is the power to say your honest opinion, to stand up for your principles, and to not sell out. It's the power to say no to a crappy job and look for the long term, to really look for the one that's going to better your life and your family's life and your career. It's the ability to be generous. It's the ability to help out other people when they need it. And I love this line. This line in the thing is that a man with savings can take a level stare into the eyes of any man, friend, stranger, or enemy. It shapes his personality and his character. And you know, it's not just savings, because that savings dependent on somebody else is still dependency. And this is where you hear a lot of Bitcoiners, particularly the first time that they do it, the first time that they are holding their own keys. When you realize what that means, that you are 100% wholly and unequivocally responsible for yourself. You are responsible for your money, and there is no one who can bail you out, and there is no one who can take it from you. When you hold your own keys, you are the master of your money. Bitcoin absolutely changes your personality and your character when you realize what it means and you take responsibility for it. This is why people will beat it into your head over and over and over again. Hold your own keys and learn it. Take the time. I know it's uncomfortable. I know it's odd when you first try to wrap your head around it. That's why so many people are trying to make it simpler and trying to teach how to safely and responsibly take care of it. Trust me, I know what it's like to do it wrong, and it sucks, and there's nobody else to blame. But it is also really empowering to know that there's almost nothing in the world that you can truly own that is really and truly yours without anyone else's permission. There is almost nothing in the world like Bitcoin because of that. And you know, Corey Clipston, we read his piece, CEO of Swan Bitcoin, we read his piece about the intransigent minority. And there's that idea of Nassim Taleb's, that the intolerant minority, that a small, dedicated, confident, intolerant group of people who are unafraid to stand up for what they want and for the principles they hold is exactly the kind of group that changes the world. The rest of the population will shift under the weight of their conviction. Now think about what Bitcoin is doing. There is a subset of the population, and it is no coincidence that so many people in Bitcoin talk about this. John Vallis has talked about this. Brady has talked about this. Pierre talks about it. Like, everybody knows or is aware of this shift that happens when you take full control over yourself and your future. So when a growing number of people are learning this and starting to see that they can stand a little taller, when they hold their own keys, when they're responsible for their own future, when they have savings that they can fall back on, when they have FU money, and then it goes 10x in some psychotic bull run, no less, and then they hold through all that volatility, when they hold through all the bad regulations, the attacks on encryption, the legacy market dumps, all the unbelievable nonsense and noise, and know what it means and why, when they have conviction for the real change that they want to see in the world and hold a few die-hard principles that they'd stand up for and who have the world's greatest cypherpunks in their ranks, no less, and actually have hope for a better future with huge possibilities while everyone else has nothing to say but how awful the world is. That is an intolerant minority that I would never want to have to fight. And I think the resurgence of sound money and the existence of Bitcoin is going to start in very subtle ways. But as more time passes, more people are going to be walking tall, and they're all going to be Bitcoiners. And I don't think we should discount how much that can change things. So I guess we'll close this one out. Thank you guys for listening. This is Bitcoin Audible. Oh, a quick announcement, actually. So you may have seen the tweet, but I'm super excited about this, and I'm probably going to have a full episode on it very soon. The Sphinx chat app just added in a podcasting feature into the tribes, and I've created a Bitcoin Audible Audionauts or Bitcoin Audionauts tribe, whatever it is. I can't even remember now. But it's literally a Lightning-based chat application, and it is so cool. I'm so excited about Lightning. But literally, I just had it so, you can listen to the show, you can quote specific sections and add GIFs or make comments or something like that, and then share it into the group, and then on the, live feed of other people playing it back, it shows the comments coming up, kind of like on the YouTube or whatever with the live shows, you see comments and people like and all that stuff. It does that to podcasting in the app. And craziest thing of all is that while they were listening to it today, Paul and some other people in the group, we've slowly got a good little group, actually. It's 10 people down in there now, starting to experiment with this. But I was getting paid 1 cent. It was 100 cent. Well, I guess it wasn't 1 cent. It's 1.6 cent now. For 100 sats for every minute that they listen to the podcast. So literally, it is streaming money for listening to the podcast, which is just so sick. And I'm not sure if you heard Adam Curry announce this in Podcasting 2.0, and also Marty Bent had a bent on it. But I'm currently talking to Adam Curry, the podfather, the literal father of podcasting, the guy who started the first podcast. Yes, he is a hella Bitcoin bull, and he has been running his own Lightning node for a while, and he is totally in this whole thing, which is super freaking exciting. And he legit thinks this could be the future of podcasting, to keep it decentralized or re-decentralize it, and keep an open platform where the listeners and the consumers pay the creators directly. And I just think this is such a cool idea, and I really have a lot of, I think there's tons and tons of promise in this idea, and it's a really fun, I've actually just the other day finally put it down in my main dock on my iPhone, so that Sphinx is there and I'm literally using it every day now. It's taken a while because there's been, update after update as new features got added, but it is really coming into its own, and it's got some crazy unique features, and this is just going to be awesome. I'm slowly going to move the Telegram group for patrons and stuff over there at some point. I think it's just going to be kind of a gradual transition at this point, but I'm super stoked. I know there's still a lot of people not on Lightning. And so just in this episode, there's a lot of people who still just need to figure out how to hold their own freaking keys. Which, by the way, Hexawallet, our sponsor, get your mobile wallet. It is literally the first step to how to hold your keys, and their backup system, you can put the little PDFs. It's a 3 of 5 backup, which maybe that's confusing to you, but basically you're splitting your backup into multiple places so that you don't lose it, or that you don't lose it if you lose your phone. But as I've said, I will be a part of your backup. You can give me one of the pieces of it, and I will have it safe in my app. But anyway, just hit me up on that if you want to do that. But either way, I think it is time to learn how to hold your own keys. And if you want to get on Lightning, there's a lot of great options available. Sphinx has it so that you can basically purchase a hosted node from them, so they're just running it so that you don't have to, and then it's just based on your keys or whatever. That's what I'm doing right now, just out of simplicity's sake. And there's not much up there at the moment as far as money goes. I think I'm $6, but there's a lot of options for Lightning. Breeze Wallet is my absolute favorite for iOS. Phoenix is a great one for Android. And yes, both of those are non-custodial, so you are holding your own keys. But either way, no matter which one you're trying to get on, whether or not you're trying to get your first mobile wallet to be able to withdraw your coins from an exchange or from Swan Bitcoin or something like that, or you're trying to set up your first hardware wallet, or you're trying to get on Lightning, feel free to ask questions. There are so many hardcore Bitcoiners who have fought the fight and gotten through the command line interfaces and beaten all of this software to hell, testing it out. I mean, good Lord, our Telegram group of patrons, I mean, everybody is running a different piece of software and running a different node, and everybody is always asking questions, which you can jump in there just by donating to the show or becoming a patron. It's $1 a month. Or whatever you want to donate. So also a great place to ask questions, but join communities, get out there, start asking questions, test the software, download the wallet, you know, start experimenting with things, because you only learn by doing. And there are so many people here to help. I am always here to help. I try to answer as many questions as I possibly can. So take advantage of it before this thing goes to the freaking moon and everybody is drowning. Do it now. And of course, mention again, you got to be dollar cost averaging. You got to be buying every week or month or whatever it is with Swan Bitcoin. And you get $10 free at swanbitcoin.com/guy. That's my reference link. And of course, a great, easy to recommend wallet, Hexa Wallet, is a great one for mobile. And of course, they sponsor the show. So they are helping to bring Bitcoin Audible to you. So much stuff to check out. I feel like we are on the cusp of some major, major moves and so many new, God, so much new software. It's just so cool. All the really fascinating stuff gets built in the bear market, and then everything just gets stress tested during the bull market. So the next 6 to 12 months is going to be crazy, I think, especially for Lightning. And on that, the mempool is basically empty right now. So take advantage of that too. Really, it's just a perfect time. This week, this weekend, take an hour or two and like really get to it. But we're done. We're done. I'm done berating everybody here. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I am Guy Swan. I love you all. I hope you join the intolerant minority. I hope you all get FU money, and I hope you all hold your keys and you hold strong through all the volatility, and you have conviction in what we are doing here and a brighter future that we are trying to get to. And I hope you all get to walk tall. I'll catch you on the next one. And until then, take it easy, guys. This has been a 111 production, and you were listening to Bitcoin Audible on the Crypto Economy Network.